This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm here today with Branko Primetica, who is Vice President at eGlobal Tech. Branko, how are you today?
Very good, John. How are you?
Great. You know, if you take a look at the last 4 or 5 years of my shows, the common theme seems to be something to do with cloud computing and service-oriented architecture, and you can't really talk about these concepts without some enterprise architecture. And I thought we'd bring in a world-famous expert on enterprise architecture of the federal government and just find out what his thoughts are, and maybe my listeners can get some guidance on perplexing problems that they all have, you know? I mean, many of my listeners, Branko, are forced to make changes here in the next few years, and if you make these changes without preparations from an architectural perspective, you're going to wind up shooting yourself in the foot.
Correct.
And so we do not want you to call the suicide hotline. We don't want you to jump out the basement window. We want you to listen to Branko's insights on enterprise architecture so you'll have no problems in the future.
There you go.
Well, first of all, Branko, give us a little about your background and how you wound up working for eGlobal Tech.
Sure. And I guess I'm that world-famous expert that you're bringing in.
World-famous, yes.
So my background is pretty much in the front end of IT consulting, business process reengineering, enterprise architecture, performance improvement. eGlobal Tech started in 2004, and we have built up from there. We're about 60 employees right now, and we're a small 8A woman-owned firm specializing in those front-end IT consulting disciplines, including capital planning and investment control, enterprise architecture, cloud computing, program and project management. And we support several civilian agencies. We're looking to get into DOD, but for now we support the GSA, Department of Labor, Department of Education, and Department of Energy, for example.
If you go to their website, eglobaltech.com, what you'll notice is and they've only been in business since 2004, in the last 4 or 5 years, they seem to be positioning themselves kind of like Forrest Gump. You know, he's at the right place at the right time, and how does Forrest Gump do that? And so, Branko Primetica, how did you wind up at the right place at the right time in the last 4 or 5 years? But many of the key concepts with cloud computing and service-oriented architecture, I think you've been instrumental in designing some of these concepts and thoughts. And I think it's good to maybe share some of your logic and some of your rationale behind some of these concepts, like the whole idea of email. I mean, there are some agencies now that are scratching their heads saying, well, maybe we should use the cloud for email. What are the strengths and weaknesses of something I'll get from a design perspective?
Well, from a design perspective, email didn't just come up as a afterthought. You have to really plan for it. So taking a step back, each agency has their own strategic plans and their business missions. So they know exactly what they're responsible for and what they have to do moving forward for the next 5 to 10 years. You create an enterprise architecture or target architecture saying, how are you going to align your business, lines of business, and your underlying technology to be able to meet that mission effectively? In that enterprise architecture, you will have the business functions and also associated services that support that business function. Email is one of those services. So you have your strategic plans, you have your enterprise architecture aligned to that strategic plan, you identify the services that you need to support your architecture to align to that strategic plan, and then what you do is, for each service, like email or communications, email services, you will take a look at different alternatives to implement that service based upon what the requirements are and standards are in your agency. One of those alternatives that you will look at is cloud computing as an alternative. And you have to do that based upon OMB's passback guidance saying right now cloud computing is an alternative that you have to look forward to when you are developing your fiscal year 2012 budgets. There are several design considerations in email. There's a security aspect of it. There is also discoverability. Is this a record? Is it not? How does it work with e-discovery? How does it not? Where is the data going to reside? Is it going to reside in the continental United States? How do we guarantee that? The Department of Defense, for example, wouldn't want anybody who's not a foreign, who's a foreign national, they wouldn't want them touching the servers where the emails are on. So these are all concepts or considerations that agencies are taking into account right now when they're planning for an email pilot.
So if you're an agency now and you're looking at options, you know the big move is towards cloud computing. You just don't jump into something. You try to look at it. For example, with email, rather than looking at, you know, the Microsoft product or the Google product, you have to step back and say, well, what happens if we're in a lawsuit and we have to worry about what's discoverable, what's not? Mm-hmm. What about moving from Microsoft to Google? Is it portable? See, concerns that, you know, you can't just jump in. You have to plan carefully.
You have to plan carefully. I think that one of the main misconceptions that agencies have right now, well, there has to be a really good understanding of what cloud computing is and what it's not. Some agencies, I've heard people ask me, where can I buy this cloud computing? Where can I not? You don't buy it. It's just a technology paradigm or an alternative to deploying a service. Not everything is going to be suitable for deployment in a cloud environment. You have to really take it into consideration, do an alternatives analysis, see what the benefits are, see what the quantifiable and quantitative. And then make your decision. But before you do, you should use enterprise architecture-driven principles to define, well, okay, what functions do you want this service to entail? What are the services that are required by your agency's end users? What technical standards need to be met within your agency? You have to lay all this out so any service provider, whether it be Microsoft or Google or IBM, can look at this and say, okay, this is how we need to configure our tool to meet your needs. And if you have really classified or very, very high-risk data, you might say, you know what, the benefits do not outweigh the costs of this. This is not suitable for a cloud. We're going to keep this inside our agencies.
And I think that's what working with the OMB and GSA is all about, is saying, yes, it's in the big picture, it's more efficient for all organizations, commercial, federal, small government, big government, to move to the cloud. The question is, what are good candidates for that? What aren't good candidates? And a little baby step is apps.gov.
Right. Right. I mean, there are different – apps.gov will provide you with different software as a service solutions right now. And I would say that those baby steps would be low-risk public-facing services or information. For example, web hosting. Why should agencies have multiple web hosting solutions? Or why should different bureaus within one department have multiple web hosting solutions that they pay for and for the outsourcing? Why not move that into a cloud? It's low risk. It's already publicly available. And you could have a scalable solution that you pay as you go from a vendor. So why not do that? There's also, if agencies want to get into the whole social networking or social media, Web 2.0 phenomenon, where they could write blogs, where they could communicate with agencies better, some of those services are available on apps.gov that you can download and take advantage of. So this is a good way for agencies to really achieve those fast.
Well, I think what an agency should do is look at their plate, and you don't want to take the high risk, most important, dangerous project you have. What you want to do is let's take a look at this cloud and test with smaller applications. I mean, you and I know there's a mandate that came out that said, well, in next year, starting in September, you're going to have to show us what activities you've had or you've made to look at the cloud, and you're going to have to defend some of these activities. And so if you take small, low-lying fruit, I guess that's a good way to test drive some of these concepts. So when the OMB auditors come into your office and say, what have you done with the cloud? You can say this, and this, and this, the lessons learned were here, and we can move on to something more important.
Right. Well, to my knowledge, I don't think that any mandate was passed requiring cloud computing.
It's strongly encouraging. Yes.
It's the only mandate. This administration has publicly stated that cloud computing is one of the targets that they're pursuing right now. Following that, in the OMB passback, agencies were encouraged to consider cloud computing as an alternative for deploying new solutions moving forward. Now, they're only asking you to consider this as an alternative. OMB recognizes, I believe I can speak on their behalf, but people recognize that cloud computing is not going to be viable for everything.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Branko Prometica, Vice President of eGlobal Tech, talking about enterprise architecture. And Branko, I think I used the term incorrectly. I used the word mandate. It has kind of a strong term. And OMB isn't mandating cloud computing. They're just kind of encouraging. Is that the
right?
Tell me the correct phrasing here. I'm stumbling on the right word here.
I would say that, to my knowledge again, that OMB is encouraging agencies to consider cloud computing as an alternative for deploying some of their solutions. OMB has not, to my knowledge again, stepped in and said you must deploy cloud computing in this and this instance, because of course that's dependent upon what that agency's business needs are.
Yes.
OMB has gone ahead and said, look, there are benefits that you can gain from cloud computing: cost savings, elasticity, scalability, pay-as-you-go model, so you pay for what you use, not a fixed fee for something that you might not use in the future. So agencies should take a look at all of this, should take a look at the security implications, and shouldn't make that decision for themselves. Yes, this is suitable or not. And if it's not, you provide that justification to OMB, and that's it.
Makes sense. Another term that I want to use correctly is to differentiate between enterprise architecture and CPIC. And maybe some of our listeners are saying, well, I know my boss put together a CPIC report last week, and then I have a colleague in another agency, and they're doing enterprise architecture. Are they doing the same thing, or are these two completely different concepts?
They are different but related concepts. So most people refer to CPIC as CIPIC, and that's your capital planning investment control process. And your enterprise architecture is usually, your program office is usually another function within the OCIO. Now, historically, these two disciplines have worked in a stovepiped manner. So your capital planning investment control process is well-defined. It needs to work with, it works with budgetary numbers and controlling projects throughout their life cycles in terms of cost and schedule. Enterprise architecture, on the other side, was sometimes used as a compliance exercise where agencies were just documenting what their current inventory is, what their business functions are, what their systems are. And later on, they started planning on what they think would be their target vision, but never really effectively communicating that to CIPIC. And right now, we see a different trend. We see agencies, especially in those agencies that that my company is supporting, where we've integrated the two. So the way that it works is that the Enterprise Architecture Program Office and team go out, create an IT portfolio analysis, look where the redundancies are, look where the performance gaps are, look at possible alternatives for filling performance gaps. Then they kick off the select phase when they go in front of the governance board or the investment review board of a department and say, these are what our findings are. And that is the baseline against which the department will make their investment decisions. Then CIPIC goes ahead with the budgeting and the control phase.
So when you review, you do an IT analysis of what you have, what you don't have, many times you're looking at data centers. Mm-hmm. And some organizations now are looking at building data centers, and some people are saying, well, why don't you use what you have more efficiently than moving to a new data center here? And this whole concept fits in with enterprise architecture, doesn't it? It's using what you have more efficiently, isn't it?
Right, it is, definitely. I think that the whole idea of a federal data center consolidation initiative was discovered through enterprise architecture principles. You take a look around, you assess your IT inventory, you find, wait, look at all these data centers that we have. And then you look at the utilization rates of servers within those data centers, and you find that the servers are being used at less than 50%, but yet more data centers are being built. So logically, or common sense tells you that, wait, we're just wasting our money. And so this whole federal data center consolidation initiative was started, and currently agencies are in the process of completing their data center asset inventories. That's pretty much what your as-is architecture is. This is what we have currently. The next step would be to assess that inventory and to come up with your target vision. How do we consolidate in order to meet our needs? What can we virtualize? I mean, you want to take advantage of cloud computing here, virtualization, because it will allow you to store your information, obtain these services in a more cost-effective manner. So it's all enterprise architecture. And then your transition strategy, how do you, step by step, how do you get there?
You know, I'm trying to think of a simple illustration that would appeal to my little brain. You know, you're always told to keep your nose to the grindstone, study hard. But what happens is when your nose is to the grindstone, you don't lift your head up and look around.
Right.
I think what enterprise architecture is saying is, hey, pop your head up, see what's going on, and then go back to the grindstone. But maybe someone else is doing an identical task to yours three doors down. And you can call these silos, you can call these all kinds of different terms. But I think what EA does is they're saying, look, what's right. the ostrich in the hole? I'm trying to think of an illustration here. It's like, hey, maybe you don't have to dig. Maybe there's no water there. Don't dig the hole there. I'm in a mile open. And maybe that's what it's all about is lifting up and seeing what's going on in the agency
right.
large.
Right. I mean, there's different sort of examples that are given to explain enterprise architecture. One is before you can build a house, you know, you have to define your blueprint. Where is my bedroom going to stand? How should it be positioned to the stairs? Do I need a bathroom downstairs because I have an elderly, you know, person living in the house? It's the same thing. Before you could build something in the future, you have to define what your blueprint is. But the best thing about enterprise architecture, I think, this is just a very practical matter. So when we were doing our first, enterprise architecture project with the Global Tech, and we got all the business owners in a room, and we started looking at what services they're currently doing and what sort of initiatives they're undertaking. It was so interesting to see people saying, hey, I need that too. Or wait, I'm doing something very similar to that. And starting to collaborate on initiatives, invest their money together. That's, I think, the beauty.
Well, you're taking the nose from the grindstone and mm-hmm. saying, take a break, talk to your colleagues. They're not going to hurt you. They're all your colleagues in the same kind of a boat. You're all in the same boat together.
Exactly.
And maybe there's some commonality here. I mean, if the big picture here from Barack Obama is some kind of a sharing services, some kind of a cultural change more than mm-hmm. anything, isn't it?
It is. It's a cultural change. It's encouraging collaboration within government and also smarter IT. Investing because, I mean, IT budgets are, you know, they're being cut down or they're not really growing that fast. So what do? You should collaborate and pool your money together and invest in something that could be reused across two or three or across the enterprise, two or three agencies across the enterprise. And that makes for smarter IT investment decision making.
Yeah, it's difficult to actually be that flexible because of all your life, if you're taught to work hard, do your work, get in work early, stay late, do your job well. Well, maybe in this flexible society we're moving into, maybe that isn't a skill that might be as well rewarded as previously, huh? You have to maybe be more flexible.
Yeah, a little more flexible, be able to think outside the box. Innovation is a huge deal right now. And always, I think that sometimes agency personnel think that their requirements are so unique that they can't share a solution whatsoever. But remember, that's not always the case. A foundational solution can be shared across. You could customize different services, but you don't have to separate yourself so distinctly from everybody else.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with the world-famous Bronco Prometica, Vice President of eGlobal, that even in your word company name, eGlobal Tech. More information, you can go to eglobaltech.com. That's awful simple. A lot of people are looking at cloud services, and I think the first step what you have to do is you have to look at who are the candidates for services that may or may not be applicable for the cloud. And one way to do that is to do some kind of inventory list. And you've done this with a couple agencies. Bronco, why don't you tell us maybe a good starting point or how you've tried to filter out what's eligible for the cloud, what isn't.
Okay. Well, I mean, in order to identify the services that your agency needs, you have to start with enterprise architecture. You have to take a look. You have to create a really good enterprise architecture to say, this is my business vision. This is what my business needs are. And these are the services that will enable those business needs. That, to my mind, is moving towards a service-oriented enterprise. You're taking a look at service-oriented infrastructure, service-oriented architecture. You're saying, these are the IT services I need. These are the business services I need. Then for each service, you can create a more in-depth segment architecture, saying, okay, this is what it should look like. This is more down to the solution level. Then you take those, and then you take a look at what, depending upon the requirements that you define there, depending upon what are the design aspects of it, you can determine whether a cloud computing solution is suitable or not. Primarily security, I think, is a major concern. Is it really high risk? Is there something out there that's available that can secure your data appropriately? If not, then you're solution is not suitable for the cloud at this point in time. But you have to take a look at those things. You have to take a look at, okay, this is a service I need. What's out there in the market to meet my needs? And if there's nothing there, then you go with a more traditional approach rather than investing in cloud computing.
If you look at the agencies that listen to the show, listen to the station, one is called FEMA. And how in the world can FEMA predict what's going to happen in 4 or 5 years? I mean, this would be the big challenge. I mean, if we talked about Joe's Donuts, well, I'm going to have another donut store in Kensington, okay? Uh-huh. But FEMA, it could be an earthquake. It could be a fire. It could be an oil spill. They just don't know. And so you actually work with FEMA to design a flexible architecture. So I keep thinking of buildings and architecture stationary. We can design a flexible architecture for an agency as well, can't you?
Yes. Well, we just won a IDIQ, a contract with FEMA to provide CETA support services. We haven't actually worked with their enterprise architecture yet. So the IDIQ was just awarded. But for FEMA, what they need to do is they can't predict what's going to happen in the future. The only thing they can do is prepare themselves to respond effectively to future disasters. To do that, they not only need to be able to position first responders where they're needed, but they have to enable the communications, the data exchanges. They need to make sure that their infrastructure is ready to be able to take on massive amounts of information, disseminate it more effectively. That's where that whole architectural principle comes into play. Okay, this is how all of our first responder, all of our business functions are laid out. This is the technology that we have supporting it right now. Then you have to take a look in the future. Okay, how do we design this so that it is flexible and that it can expand? And maybe cloud computing can be one of those things for their data centers. FEMA, during a non-hazard, I guess, a time frame, is waiting. You know, I mean, they're doing other things, but they're waiting for it. But they're in that mode right now where they're positioning themselves. Once a disaster hits, their infrastructure needs to be scalable and elastic enough to accommodate anything that they need. And that's where something like a cloud computing, a data center, a storage environment, or a communications environment can come into play.
And I think that's why there may be 135 agencies and more than 135 solutions, because an analysis of FEMA's requirements may come with a checklist for cloud computing and cloud services that is a different checklist from energy or from education or from DOI, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's true. But you have to take mission mission services are different than business or enterprise services. So your core mission services are those that are applicable to or unique to each agency. For example, at the Department of Energy, they have nuclear safety monitoring, for example, or the Department of Education, it's education regulation, whatever. Then you have underneath that, you have your business services and your IT and your enterprise services. Those services can be common to most agencies. Your back office services, financial management, human resources management, your enterprise services like your IT infrastructure support, your maybe document management, some people put that in there. Those are the services that can be shared not only across a single department, but across the federal government as well. That's why you have shared service providers right now, the human resources shared service providers, financial management shared service providers, because without properly planning, there were so many redundant systems in federal government to manage human resources, to manage financial management, to actually even today, there's grants management systems everywhere. What we're looking at right now is we're going back and architecting and trying to find common solutions that can be shared and shared service providers. So see, that the first scenario is what happens when you don't develop an enterprise architecture, when you don't plan effectively. Now we're going back and fixing those problems.
Yeah, and I think Barack Obama talks about vision and shared services, which was the initial start of this conversation about enterprise architecture. We learned a whole lot about enterprise architecture. If you want to learn more, you can go to eglobaltech.com. They have a nice little white paper you can download and read. I'm a big fan of white papers because you can sit and read it on Saturday and with a cup of coffee and enjoy and learn a lot about enterprise architecture, a lot of different topics. We're going to have to close up the interview here. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Bronco Prometica, Vice President of eGlobal Tech. Thanks, Bronco.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
It's the only program of its kind in the world, a unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning, designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. Offered by one of the country's leading business schools, according to a ranking by U.S. News & World Report. To learn more, visit som.gmu.edu/defense or call 703-993-4457. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is June 20th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. Do it for yourself. Do it for your country.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies.